السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. اشہد اللہ الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ واشہد ان محمدا عبدہ ورسولہ. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد للہ رب العالمین الرحمن الرحیم مالک یوم الدین ایاک نعبد و ایاک نستعین اهدنا الصراط المستقیم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
دو جمعے پہلے میں نے حکمرانوں کے غلط رویوں اور عوام کے حقوق صحیح طور پر.
Hazur says that two Friday sermons previous I spoke with reference to the erroneous approach of sovereigns, how they do not fulfill the rights of their people, and the reaction of the people to this in light of the Holy Quran, the Hadith, and the teachings of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and I explained this subject. I explained how a true Muslim should react in such circumstances to their rulers. And nowadays, because in Arab countries there is new impetus and a wave of opposition against the leaders, that how they can obtain their rights from them, or how those leaders can be removed from the governmental posts. It is for this reason that our Ahmadis living in Arab countries have greater interest in this topic. Keeping this interest in view, those who host the live program on our MTA3 Arabic channel, their live program is called Hawar ul Mubashir. This program airs on the first Thursday to Sunday each month. So they put this topic on their program. Which does not directly relate to the political circumstances of Arab countries, but nonetheless, it sheds light on the current predicament of the Muslims. Sharif Ode Sahib, who conducts this program, he had spoken to me before this program about it. After, he sent a book of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, called Al-Huda. He sent me this book with some of the sections highlighted. The first section includes a translation alongside it. And he sent it to me inferring that all the topics included are particularly applicable to the state of the rulers of the Arab countries where disorder is currently prevalent. In fact, this subject applies to not only the leaders, it also applies to the general people, and then also the ulama, the Muslim scholars or clergy. Because the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has written the next section of this book with reference to the ulama, or the Muslim scholars. In their program, they must have explained these issues. But at this time, I would also like to say certain things in this regard. The description depicted by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, does not apply to a handful of countries where the public have risen against the governments. In fact, the scenario detailed by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, over 100 years ago, of the Muslim kings and the Muslim leaders, the Muslim citizens and the Muslim scholars, today as well, the circumstances in the Muslim countries testify to the truth of the words of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. The exact same circumstances that he described are emerging today. When we look deeper, then the words of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, do not only apply to the Muslim countries of his time. In fact, even after the demise of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, the new Islamic countries or governments that came into existence, the state and condition of their leaders and people and the so-called clergy is exactly the same as depicted by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in his book. Then with respect to all the horrific and deplorable circumstances that the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, peace be upon him, mentioned in his book, he also provided the solution to these predicaments. That the Messiah of the time, who was destined to come, has come, and thousands of signs and examples of divine succor testify to his truthfulness. In order to fulfill the prophecy of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and accepting the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, are the only means of the salvation of the Muslims. There is no other path now left for their salvation. However, instead of responding to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him's message positively, a storm of opposition rose against him. After his claim, however, a positive situation did emerge, which is that the opponents of Ahmadiyyat also began efforts to preach the faith on the pretext of serving Islam. The reality of their efforts to preach Islam and to what extent they really cared for Islam, this is better known to Allah. I will not go into the details of this. But nonetheless, some organizations have attempted to preach Islam. However, because they did not have direct divine guidance, for this reason, many innovations or particular schools of thoughts which they adopted, this was given greater emphasis when they were preaching. The fundamental teachings of Islam were ignored. Many innovations and viewpoints entered in this manner. Allah the Almighty sent one Hakam and Adil, judge and arbiter, who was to draw the line between what was right and wrong and clearly distinguish between reality and falsehood. Without this Hakam and Adil, judge and arbiter, naturally only misguided views would emerge. Anyhow, there was a spark amongst the Muslims, and a section showed inclination towards their religion. In fact, there was a significant interest shown by the Muslims. Actually, this interest of the Muslims was born out of a desire to remove their frustration and restlessness within. This occurred in this era according to Allah's decree, so that such people would then search for Allah's appointed one. Many on whom Allah's grace descended or continues to fall upon even now. They end up successful in this search for the appointed one of God. But others who fall into the wrong hands, they leave this world still in a state of unrest while still searching for that appointed person. Here, when the incidents of birth or initiation are sent to me, it comes to light how agitated the righteous souls were, how keen they were to search out the truth, and how terrible the state was in their search to find the right path. And then after, how Allah the Almighty guided these people. Some consider this guidance as coincidental. However, this is actually the fulfillment of the proclamation of Allah that He guides whomsoever He pleases. Anyhow, there are numerous incidents like this that I will mention at some other times. Previously, the examples of the companions I spoke about last week. And I will do this so the world should come to know that Allah guides today just as He guided in the past. Observing the progress and propagation of Ahmadiyyat, witnessing the beautiful teachings of Islam spread in the world through Ahmadiyyat, and seeing righteous Muslims enter into Ahmadiyyat, that is the true Islam, on a daily basis. Certain Muslim governments funded the Maulvis and then set them loose in the world. In African countries, madrasas were opened and continue to be opened even now. Organizations are formed called Islamic universities. The governments are funding this to some degree. This is why the poor countries, or the developing countries, or the undeveloped countries, they provide these facilities so that further wealth is then received and the economic situation improves. But these so-called Muslim scholars who go there to preach, in the garb of preaching centers, have in fact made less efforts towards the propagation of Islam and the moral training of the Muslims. And instead, they have made greater efforts towards concocting schemes against Jamaat Ahmadiyyat. They almost always fail in such attempts. And they are continuing to fail, and they have failed in the past as well. Anyhow, on this pretext, the economic outlook of some poor people in certain countries improved. When the true teachings of Islam dawns upon people through the message of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and when they at once understand this message, then every person who loves religion, he gives preference and significance to the message of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and he becomes prepared to offer every sacrifice for the sake of it. The light received from God cannot be competed with by people. No human efforts can oppose the light from Allah. However much these rich countries, on the pretext of serving Islam, try to dishearten and misguide people about Ahmadiyyat, regardless, every intelligent person will be able to distinguish between truth and falsehood. If efforts are made in Allah's name, but they are against His will, then there can be no blessings in it. The God's grace is only found, and righteous consequences are only borne with those who have the support and help of God. Our missionaries, our mu'allimeens or teachers, and those Ahmadis who live in such areas where they witness the signs of divine help and succor, and they see the support at every moment. Such examples from God strengthen their faith, and their manifestations are seen every day the sun dawns, and because of this, their faith continues to strengthen. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, mentioned an incredible sign from God in his favor, a sign which is fulfilled every single day. He states, referring to the prophecies included in his book Barahin-e Ahmadiyyat, that in this book Barahin-e Ahmadiyyat, Allah has taught me a prayer. Allah the Almighty teaches me a prayer. In other words, by revelation he states, رَبِّ لَا تَزَرْنِي فَرْدًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ, that do not leave me alone and form one community. In another place, Allah the Almighty promises, يَأْتِيكَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ أَمِينٍ, that the wealth and facilities required for guests will be provided by Allah Himself. They will come to you from every path. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states that, now ponder, when this prophecy was published, or when people were informed about this prophecy, did anybody come here at that time? I swear by God that nobody even knew me. In an entire year, perhaps one or two letters were received, or one or two guests came, and sometimes this did not even happen. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states further that this increase in numbers, the righteous people arriving and initiating and pledging allegiance to me, all of these things are great signs that come to pass on a daily basis. Hazur says that we witness this sign of Allah today as well, despite all the opposition, despite the schemes of those who have defected from Ahmadiyyat, who left Ahmadiyyat out of worldly greed. With the grace of Almighty Allah, in my daily mail and letters, without exception, at times in dozens, and at times in hundreds, and sometimes even in thousands, I read the good news of those initiating or pledging allegiance. Bet forms are sent. Sometimes the incidents of initiation are so faith-inspiring that no one apart from Allah the Almighty could have produced this state in the people's hearts, which is the condition of the sentiments of these new converts. In Europe, in America, I sometimes meet these new converts. When I ask them how they converted to Ahmadiyyat, so they say, they were initially drawn to Islam by a non-Ahmadi Muslim friend, or they were just drawn towards Islam generally. So they contacted a non-Ahmadi Muslim and accepted Islam. However, disbelief and dissatisfaction still remain within them. Then Allah's grace touched them, and perchance they were introduced to Ahmadiyyat. So they were left with no option whatsoever but to accept this true Islam and to enter its fold. So that they could attain tranquility and satisfaction of the heart. In the same way, thousands and hundreds of thousands of the Muslims, because of their good nature, when they search for the truth, then the reality dawns upon them, they immediately accept Ahmadiyyat. In particular, when Muslims accept Ahmadiyyat, they then understand what true Islam is. Because of their families and environment, they often pass through extreme difficulty. At times, they endure great pain and suffering. However, with the grace of Almighty Allah, they nonetheless remain firm and steadfast at all times. They regularly write for prayers to sustain this steadfastness. They display this steadfastness because once they have identified the truth, they want to avoid moving away from the reality and becoming sinners. They see the state of their scholars and the clergy, that these people do not practice what they preach. Their intellectual and educational state does not behove them to respond to the allegations raised by other followers of other religions. In fact, defending the faith aside, at times they display an appeasing attitude, or they say there is no need to argue or discuss things with them, and to do so is un-Islamic. In particular, those living in Arab countries, many of them have now realized, that is, those who are in contact with MTA, regardless of whether they have accepted Ahmadiyyat or not, many of them have realized that the strong rebuttals and effective replies provided by the Ahmadi scholars to the Christian priests, these replies which render these Christian priests speechless, they realize that no one else is replying in this manner. Their scholars can't reach this level at all. I receive many letters that we would become agitated hearing all these allegations against Islam and would pray that Allah the Almighty should remove the restlessness within and show us the glory and splendor of Islam. Then Allah accepted our prayer and one day enabled us to watch MTA by chance. And the manner in which the Ahmadi scholars provided well-reasoned responses to those raising allegations against Islam and the way that they left them speechless, this allowed us to stand up proudly and also enabled us to breathe with relief. Anyhow, Hazrat says that, as I have said, I will at some other time mention the feelings and the incidents of these people. At this time, as I said at the beginning, in his book Al-Huda, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has addressed the kings and the people of different sections of society and detailed their condition. I shall present some passages from this. What was the condition of the Muslims at the time? The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says that corruption and disorder had emerged in the Muslims. Righteous people had become as rare as red rubies. Piety had become a rare commodity. Neither have the morals of Islam remained within them, nor is the compassion of the holy people found in them. They do not desist from acting badly towards others, even towards their beloved friends. They give people boiling water to drink. In other words, they continue to inflict suffering on the people, even those who are their true friends. They do not even provide a tenth of what they have, even to their brother, father, or any other relative. They do not truly love even their real brothers. And to those who show great compassion towards them, they consider that compassion as almost nothing. They do not act righteously towards those who show favor to them, and are not kind or generous to others, however close that person may be to them. Even to their friends, they are miserly in giving to them. In fact, if you look around, if you use your eyes and glance in every direction, look at them, in other words, glance around you and perceive, you will see all the communities of the nation are cloaked in impiety, unfaithfulness, and shamelessness. Here we shall write something about the state of the rulers and kings of the time and other people who are affected by their ego. Further, he writes about the state of kings, that may Allah show mercy to them. Because often kings, Hazur says, this is in Arabic, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, provided a translation alongside himself. He says, Allah have mercy on you, because the majority of kings of the current time and leaders were considered the holy people of the faith and the defenders of the divine law. Every one of them has succumbed to the lure of the world. Apart from fulfilling their desire of alcohol, music and personal desires, they do nothing else. To fulfill temporary desires, they spend their entire wealth. They sit and drink alcohol at the edge of streams, at waterfalls, beside tall trees, beside fruit-laden and blossoming plants, sitting upon high-quality flooring, and are not aware of the difficulties and hardships being faced by the people and their nation. They are not aware of the political issues and the problems of the people, and they have no regard of general matters or intellect. He says that in the same way, they go near the boundaries set by Allah and then they surpass them. That is, they indulge in those things that are prohibited by Allah. They do not discharge the responsibilities of the state, nor do they act righteously. For this reason, they suffer defeat after defeat. They are in decline and they weaken on a daily basis because they anger the God of the heavens. And they did not do justice to any trust given to them. He continues further that they are lost in the world and they have not adopted taqwa. This is why they suffer defeat against anyone who rises to challenge them. Despite large armies, wealth and glory, they are defeated. This is the result of the curse that descends on them from the heavens, because they have given precedence to their personal desires over God. They have preferred the pastimes and conveniences of the world over God. They have become extremely desirous over the temporary pastimes and luxuries of the world. And with this they have become selfish, proud and self-conceited. And they are captive to these enjoyments of the world. In matters of faith, they are slack and are the defeated people, and they are very active and clever in trying to attain their dirty desires. He continues that they are bonded to their desires. They have forgotten both their people and their faith. That is, they do not care for the people or their religion. They do not take care of the people properly. They consider the national treasury as a personal inheritance from their ancestors, and so they do not spend on the people as if they were required to be cautious in this regard. And they assume that they will not be held accountable for this, nor will they return to the Lord one day. So their time of engulfed in this wealth passes by in complete ignorance like a nightmare. He says that if you become aware of their actions, your hair will stand on end and you will become astonished. So ponder, do these people strengthen and support the faith? Do these people guide the misguided or provide treatment to the blind? This is a state of the rulers or the kings, but as I said, to try and defeat the mission of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in Africa, they make efforts. Although they may not even spend a thousandth of their wealth, they offer only a minute amount. They have a massive amount of wealth, that is the wealth of oil. But they send their missionaries to oppose the promised Messiah, peace be upon his mission, although they did not consider sending their missionaries before, although they are active for sending for this purpose. Further, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states that what connection do they have with the commandments of the Islamic Sharia? Rather, they want to free themselves from their restricted lifestyle and instead live with complete freedom. The strength of the believers is not found in them. Where is the condition of the righteous and abstaining hearts, whose way is that of truth and justice? In fact, the throne of power today is bereft of these qualities. These people say that Khilafahs will be established amongst us. They strive to establish it. The ulama put forward one name or the other. But anyhow, he says, their hearts are bereft of these qualities. And this is why Khilafat cannot be established amongst them. They do not consider the conditions of the Muslims have become static. Its lights have gone out and their prophets is being insulted. His truthful teachings are being deemed wrong. In fact, they have become stubborn in terms of how they trespass the numerous prohibitions of Allah. With great boldness, they fulfill their desires in forbidden areas. In other words, they act shamelessly in a way that Allah has forbidden. He states further that they spend their lives day and night engrossed in the enjoyments of the world. So how will such people be helped by God when they act sinfully? In fact, these negligent kings who desire only worldly enjoyments, they are actually a great punishment from Allah for the Muslims. That is, their existence is a punishment for the Muslims. They are like worthless insects who have been totally debased. They do not utilize their strength for the people of God. They have become like crippled camels. They do not stride like galloping horses. This is why they are not helped by the heavens. And also why, in the eyes of the disbelievers, there is no fear of them anymore. As is the characteristic of such people, they run away from disbelievers like a donkey runs away from a lion. And to fight with them, two disbelievers are sufficient to overcome 2,000 of them. He states that having adopted such falsehood and misguidance, why would God help them? Because God does not change His eternal way. His way is that Allah does help the righteous people but does not ever help those who commit vices. This is why the Christian kings are capturing land and government and being supported. And they go on pressurizing or suppressing every state. You can observe today as well that if not apparently, then practically, the Muslim kings and Muslim countries are in the hands of the non-Muslims. Their economies are in the hands of other people. So he says that Allah has not supported them, not because He is not merciful towards them. In other words, the help given to the non-Muslims and the terrible condition of the Muslims is not because Allah is greatly favoring the non-Muslims. It is in fact because Allah's wrath descends upon the Muslims. If only Muslims knew. So this was the promised Messiah, peace be upon him's acute concern. And this is a living reality today. The honest newspaper columnists and commentators also write exactly this. I read an article recently in the Jung newspaper by Dr. Abdul Qadir Khan, who is considered the scientist of Pakistan. He had written this in light of the verses of the Holy Quran, that because of our behavior and such acts, the punishment of Allah has descended upon us. So anyhow, this is their condition. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states further, if they were righteous, how would it be possible that the enemies could overcome and dominate them? In fact, when they forgot prayer and worship, Allah then also forgot them and cared not for them. He says that to break the covenant with Allah, and as a result of breaking the boundaries set by the Holy Quran, dangerous predicaments are breaking out among them, and numerous cities have slipped through their hands. He continues that all of this is a punishment and the wrath of Allah. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states that it was not the enemy that disgraced them, it was in fact Allah who disgraced them. This is because they acted disobediently right before the eyes of Allah. So Allah showed them what He has shown them, and He engulfed them in perils and did not save them. Their ministers are unfaithful and dishonest. Explaining this, the promised Messiah alayhi salam says that all their ministers and advisers do not fulfill the obligations of their posts. Not only do they act unfaithfully themselves, rather they also influence others to become disloyal. He says further, the newspapers in Europe regard them as lazy and unqualified, and this reality exists today as well. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam continues, the qualities of a man are not found within them. They do not observe prayer properly. Their desires have become obstacles and hindrances in their path. If they offer prayers, they offer it at home like women. They do not attend prayer in the mosque like righteous people. He says then that they do not hear any word of advice. Their arrogance and pride incites them, and they go out of control. Their arrogance and pride incites them. and they go out of control. In their view, a respected person is one who portrays their situation as excellent and who praises their action. In other words, they only desire praise. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam continues that when God saw their impiety, their oppression, dishonesty, pride and ungratefulness, He placed them under such people who jump over their walls and reach every high place and take hold of the possessions of their ancestors and suppress the nation. All of this was destined. You find this in the Holy Quran and you read this therein, but you do not ponder on it. As I stated, the Muslim economies are all in the hands of non-Muslims. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam states further that when they change the taqwa in the heart, Allah changed their circumstances in the world. Because they boldly kept on sinning, Allah does not change the condition of any nation until they first reform themselves. And nor are they shown mercy until this comes to pass. In fact, God curses such houses and those cities where people commit adultery or sin. And upon those houses where fornication occurs, angels descend and say, O house, may God make your house deserted. He says then, do not blame or scold the kings of the Christians. Addressing the people, he says, do not blame or scold the leaders of the Christians. Whatever you have received from them, that is, do not blame them that they are inflicting pain upon you. Do not remember what they have done to you. O sinners, consider yourselves bad. Do you listen to my words? No. No, you turn away and you abuse me. You do not have ears to listen or minds that comprehend. You do not even have time, that rather than eating and drinking, you should come towards sense and separate yourselves from that and be inclined towards Allah. Where are the men among you? Do you blame the enemy? Whatever you have suffered is because of your own bad deeds. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, then addressed the people. There is disorder breaking out nowadays, so he says that, listen, if you were righteous, then kings would be made sincere for you. If you were pious, if you were righteous, then kings would be made pious for you. If you are pious, the kings would be pious. Because this is a tradition of Allah for righteous people. Desist from praising the Muslim kings. If you desire good or betterment for them, then repent on their behalf. Allah the Almighty has made them a resource for you and has made you a provision for them. If you are righteous, then you should help each other on the pretext of taqwa, righteousness, and also piety. Make them aware of their bad deeds. Inform them of their erroneous bad actions and also their enjoyments which they enjoy if you are not hypocritical. I swear they do not fulfill the rights due to the state. So he says that admonishing is definitely correct and is necessary and permissible that the truth should be stated before the king. He says that, I swear by Allah, their hearts are harder than mountains. They never cry before Allah. It is clear from these actions that they have angered Allah and they have adopted misguidance. So they take poison themselves and take their subjects along with them. So there are two aspects of this self-destruction. O scholars, are there any who will make them aware of the consequences of their actions? Because these people have lost their religion, running after their impious desires. In every circumstances, they have become narrow-sighted. In other words, they have become narrow-sighted. Their glances have become crooked and one-eyed. He continues that, according to me, they are actually completely blind. I do not say that you should disobey them and instead fight them. The promised Messiah alayhi salam has said explicitly that I do not say that you should leave obeying them and start fighting them. That is, speak the truth, but war is not permissible. There is prayer. They have been admonished towards prayer by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, foremost, and also towards repentance. So the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, I do not say you should disobey them and start fighting them. In fact, pray to God for their betterment, so they desist from acting wrongly. Do not expect them to reconcile and reform those issues which the Dajjal or the Antichrist has ruined, or after so much destruction and anxiety that they will reform the condition of the nation. You are aware that there are men specifically ordained for different tasks. How is it possible that he who is dead brings others to life, or that the misguided will guide others? Is this possible? Then how can you expect this from them? We do not expect that they will reform until death touches them and wakes them up. Indeed, we have been instructed to go on advising and admonishing. We have been instructed to counsel. This is what we continue to do. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam continues, the quality of understanding and the principles of running a country are unknown to them. They desire to learn the cunning ways of the non-Muslims and their Christian neighbors. But subtle lies and schemes to save themselves, they were unable to imitate. So they are like the chicken who desired to become a vulture. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says that in comparison to the Christians, whatever knowledge they received regarding taqwa, they turned away from it, and like their opponents could not even learn the scheming ways and deception properly. Regarding Muslim kings, Allah the Almighty has promised that until they become righteous, He will not help them. Allah so desires that Christians are successful in their ploys because the believers have angered them. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states that, do you believe that you will be able to safeguard the limits set by Islam from the disbelievers? Do you believe they are in the protection of Islam? Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. This is a huge mistake. In fact, through their innovations, they try to uproot the faith. It is in your power to think well of them and to prove they have no link with sin. But what signs will you present in order to make this claim? Do you think they are the custodians of Harafain, Sharafain, the two sacred sites, Makkah and Medina? In fact, the Haram, the Kaaba, is protecting them. Because they claim to love Allah and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. That is, it is their claim that they love Islam and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. This is why they are not safeguarding the Makkah and Medina. In fact, they safeguard them. And if they do not repent truly, then the punishment is at hand. So is there any among you who will warn of the terrible days? Do you not see that Islam has become engrossed so long in this era, and like constant rain, rife is breaking out? And like prey, the armies of the enemies are at hand to capture Islam. Now nothing is left to make the hearts happy and to remove this suffering. Muslims are like that thirsty person in the jungle or the ill person who is at his last breath. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states that some people make fun of Muslims. Some look at them crying. You will see that hearts have hardened and sins are increasing. Hearts have become smaller and the mind has darkened. Negligence, laziness and the increase of sin, ignorance and misguidance and disorder have all taken over. There is no trace whatsoever left of taqwa. That light in the heart from which one gains the strength of faith has extinguished. Eyes, ears and tongues have become dirty. Beliefs have become twisted. Understanding has been lost. Foolishness has manifested. In worship, pride, conspicuousness and show have entered. Blessings are no longer visible. Love and unity are being lost. And other grudges have also emerged. Every type of sin and ignorance is found in the Muslims. All kinds of cruelties and misguidance are visible in the women, men and children. In particular, the rich people have left the right path. As I have stated, the opposition, leaving aside everything, the Muslim scholars have incited them and twisted them in such a way that they are at the forefront of opposing Ahmadiyyat. In the past few days, I was looking at a report of a missionary that he has a Christian friend. He came here to England to a Muslim acquaintance of his. He knew that this Muslim drank alcohol. He said, I purposely inquired from him during a conversation and I told him that I have some Ahmadi friends. So the Muslim was sitting before him at the time and he was drinking alcohol. He said that Ahmadis are not even Muslims. What are you talking about? Then I said to him that alcohol is forbidden in the Holy Quran and Ahmadis do not drink alcohol. Despite this, you say they are not Muslims. Ahmadis observe prayer in the same manner. Despite this, according to you, they are not Muslims. The Ahmadis I have seen strive to implement the teachings of the Holy Quran. Yet, you say they are not Muslims. And this is all despite the fact that you are sitting here before me drinking alcohol and are acting against the teachings of the Holy Quran, and you are a Muslim. So he listened to this quietly, that is the Muslim, without replying. He was speechless, but the glass of alcohol was still in his hand. So I said to him, that is the Christian said to him, that do not worry, this just came out of my mouth, so I said this, so you can go on drinking the alcohol in your hand if you wish. So he immediately started drinking again. So this is the condition of the Muslims, but Ahmadis are supposedly not Muslims. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states further, signs were manifested, but they were not accepted. So the punishment of Allah descended. When they faced this punishment, they said, we consider you impious. That is, they considered the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, as bad. They said, this plague has spread because of your falsehood. That is, the punishment sent by Allah, God forbid, is being sent because, God forbid, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, made a false claim. This is how they react today as well. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam says further that Allah sent not any messenger without the support of punishments from the heavens and the earth, so that they desist from their bad acts. Thus, these punishments and disasters occur in the support of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. He then says that, tell me, amongst your kings, who during this storm made a boat to save the people? Rather, they drowned with the others. The scissor of the time has cut their nails. That is, the tide of the hour has left them insignificant, and their face was covered with dirt, and the era dried their water. Grandeur vanished from them. That is, their glory came to an end. They did do their best, but to no avail. Such trials surfaced that through their parliament and committees, and by placing camps of armies on the enemy's borders, they could not reconcile them. At times they gathered weapons and sent large armies, but they only suffered defeat and humiliation. The promised Messiah alayhi salam continues that, now tell me, O doctors and physicians, what is the process of treatment in your view? Can these leaders remove the difficulties and ailments of the people? Do you expect these kings can remove the thorns from the garden of religion? Do you think these sicknesses will be treated through the effort of the Islamic states? No, absolutely not. The matter is much more difficult than finding fresh dates from a cactus tree. What can you expect from those who are buried under stones themselves? How can they lift their heads from under when they themselves are drowned under so many afflictions? I say truly that it is not in the capacity of kings and leaders to remove these hardships. Can a blind person ever show the way to a blind? O intelligent people, even if the king be Muslim and sincere and compassionate, they do not have souls of pure people. They are not like righteous people who receive light from God. They do not get sent the light of God, because light descends only on those who completely efface their own ego. Such a person is then granted true love, and he is given blessings from the fountain of God's pleasure. Sight, truthfulness and purity are given to the eyes. He is then cloaked in purity. He is after granted sustenance and survival. And he who is in darkness himself, how can he remove the darkness? He who sleeps on the throne of luxuries, how can he make others active? The truth is, the kings of today have no spirituality. God has drawn their attention to worldly politics. These people have been appointed for a particular reasons. In other words, for apparent support. They are only concerned with political matters. Their obligation was only to make satisfactory arrangements for the safety of Islam and to protect Islam from all apparent threats. In terms of purifying people from within, to protect the people from Satan, and not to shelter them from afflictions, but with prayers and with a resolute spirit, because all of this is beyond the capabilities and powers of the kings. That is, they have no spirituality. This is not hidden to the intelligent people. The kings are given the control of the nation so they can protect Islam and the people from Satan, not so they can purify the hearts or give light to the eyes. Regarding the Muslim scholars, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, "The majority of them are like a disease for Islam rather than a cure. They seize the wealth of the people through different means. They do not act upon what they say. They do not practice what they preach. They advise others without adhering to that advice themselves. In short, they have bad speech, hearts which are hard and filled with darkness. Their views are weak, their minds are dull, their spirit dead, and their actions bad. They become proud attaining just a small amount of knowledge. They use filthy language against anyone differing with them and place edicts of disbelief in different ways, inflict them with harm and plunder their wealth. They are by nature miserly, envy is their way. Alteration in the Shariat is their religion. That is, they change the Shariat and then, God forbid, they say Ahmadis do this. In anger, they are like wolves. Their joy and sadness is all linked with their own egos and self. Their remembrance of Allah and glorifying Him are only for show. They assume that they have power over people's lives. Hazur says, such a true reality has been described, and nowadays in Pakistan, they consider themselves more than ever to have power over people's lives. So he continues that they consider angels whoever they please and Satan's brother whoever they want. There is no trace of holiness or compassion in them. In fact, in terms of using filthy language, they have even surpassed animals. They come to you in sheep's clothing, whereas in reality they are like murderous wolves who attack people by making allegations. They write false edicts, and for one or two dirhams it is sufficient to destroy their faith. They prevent people from accepting the truth, and like Satan, they put doubts into people's minds. Their arrogance has greatly increased, and reality and deliberation has declined. They do not have the ability to say anything positive. In fact, they give vent to doubts and suspicions. When they remain quiet, it is for the purpose of eradicating others' rights. And when they speak, there is no aura or impact in that. They do not care for the solutions to the difficult problems of the Shariat, nor are they aware of the advanced matters of religion. The concept of the death of Jesus, peace be upon him, is clear-cut. However, they are not concerned for the victory of Islam. So he states further that Allah has decreed only tumult for them. They read the Holy Quran, but it is only a verbal recitation. The Holy Quran has never really entered their hearts. Negligence and weariness has entered them to a significant degree. Intelligence and understanding has seriously declined. They do not have the ability to solve difficult issues. Because of their selfish passions, you will find them intoxicated and overcome with emotions. He says they have forgotten the rights of God the Gracious. How can one expect the support of God for them in such circumstances? He says further that prejudice has made them like animals and has prevented them from accepting the truth. Their religion is greed and self-ego, eating and drinking and accumulating wealth. They are not anguished on the current state of Islam, nor do they cry about it. And if they do cry, then they are crocodile tears. They shiver when they stand before kings, but when they stand before the all-powerful God, they do not fear at all. Nor do they fear at all the threat of disgrace and disorder spreading, and nor do they fear the impending disasters. One section amongst them, on the pretext of jihad, is inciting peoples to kill others. Subsequently, they shed the blood of innocent people or anyone who crosses the path. They do not adhere to taqwa, righteousness, and the fear of Allah. So Hazur says, these were a few sections of the page of the book. So all of these things that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has explained were mentioned by him over 100 years ago. 100 years have passed since the promised Messiah alayhi salam explained this. The condition of the Muslims he depicted then is exactly the same today. His words are being upheld by the current actions of the Muslims. And the deeds of the Muslims testify to the statements of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. And it also bear witnesses to the truthfulness of his words. How Allah informed the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, about this, and how he conveyed that then. With respect to the circumstances mentioned in his book, he has also provided the solution. He says that leave all of these sects. So leave all of these sects. After mentioning sects, he mentions various sects and people. He says, leave all of these sects and search. That has Allah provided a remedy? That has Allah provided any treatment? Remember, the cure to this disorder is in the heavens and not in the hands of people. Read the stories of the people of the past in the Holy Quran. What was Allah's way with them? Then why would Allah's way change with the people who come after? Do you not believe this is the time of the advent of the Imam? When you witness misguidance and ignore right before your eyes, Islam is being attacked. Difficulties are not receding. In this storm of humiliation, no servant of the faith is visible. The condition that is that people have forgotten the guidance of Allah and the Holy Quran. They have also rejected whatever is contained within the Hadith. Some Muslims are following the misguided concepts of the Christians. They are only concerned about their own lives and luxuries. Can we expect such people to reform the faith? So the promised Messiah alayhi salam says further that they say that only the Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, was safe from the touch of Satan. Have they forgotten the statement of Allah the Almighty that Inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan? Was the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, not innocent and safe from the touch of Satan? Therefore today there is no greater sin than believing the concept of Jesus, peace be upon him, being alive. And you assist the Christians by holding on to this concept. Reflect yourselves on the condition of this time. The Ummah, the Muslim community, is split into so many sects that unless there is God's help, it is impossible for them to unite, because everyone is calling the other a disbeliever. And now, extending from verbal debates, they have reached the level of warfare and murder. In such circumstances, do you believe that you will remove the mountain of differences between one another and then reconcile and unite and come forward before the opponents of Islam? Absolutely not. The condition is that in Pakistan, a Khatm-e-Nubuwwat Jalsa was taking place. In one city, Shia, Sunni, Barelvi, Deobandi, etc. were all present. A Jalsa gathering was to occur, and a quarrel broke out after some time. This was 2 days before the scheduled Jalsa. So then, the gathering was organized in three separate places. From one place, the police removed that organization and took them elsewhere. Khatm-e-Nubuwwat, the seal of prophethood, is such an issue that they have become united against Ahmadis for it. But they could not yet unite here to hold a gathering against us. Three separate jalsas were held in the same city. So this is their condition. Anyhow, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states that how can you acquire the strength to carry out the task which is actually the work of God? Allah will breathe His heavenly breath on these different people to bring them back to life. The real breath will be infused in their hearts through the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. And people will unite on one creed. This is Allah's tradition, that when He desires to reform any nation, He sends a person from among them for this purpose. But the ulama or the clergy and people do not accept this, even though Allah has given the Mosaic dispensation similitude to the Muhammad dispensation, just like Jews became misguided after a time after accepting Moses, peace be upon him. So Allah then sent Jesus, peace be upon him, after a time. Similarly, In a similar time period, in the community of the Muslims of Muhammad, peace be upon him, the promised Messiah alayhi salam was sent. This is something to be grateful to God about. One should not disbelieve in this reward and blessing. The Muslims should have accepted this like one who is thirsty and consider this the greatest blessing of Allah. But they left the Holy Quran and started following people's statements. They rejected the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, just as the Jews rejected Jesus, peace be upon him. In this way, both the communities bear semblance by their way of rejection. So may the Muslim community comprehend this reality, that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, is that person who is destined to come to unite the Muslims at one hand. And he has arrived. The circumstances of various Muslim countries in the world and the heavenly and earthly disasters that are occurring, may these all enable Muslims to realize that in this era, the chosen and selected one of God, who was to be sent, has been sent, and they should accept him. And they should support the champion of Allah to counter those determined efforts of the opponents against Islam. And they should take part in the jihad through which Islam will defeat other religions. In USA and also in Europe, various people stand up from time to time who allege obscene things about the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Or they insult him, or they deride him, or they ridicule the Holy Quran. If there is anyone carrying out jihad against him today, then it is this champion of Allah, by joining who, by bonding with whom, we can establish the superiority of Islam in the world. And by bonding with whom, we can prove the superiority of the Holy Quran over all other scriptures. By connecting with the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, we will safeguard the honor of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and we can prove his lofty status and grandeur to the world. May Allah also grant us the ability to fulfill this.
الحمد لله نعمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر